A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 32. Jatisish. Boba listened carefully as Din filled him in on what had happened since they had gone their separate ways that morning. Din walked Boba through all he'd seen out in the desert and in Mos Eisley, breaking off now and then to take another bite of the bantha haunch, which turned out to be glazed with honey and peppers and had been roasted over a spit the traditional Tusken way. The food was good, and Boba's company was even better. Boba, in turn, filled Din in on what had gone on in the palace while Din had been hunting. Boba's day had been more productive. He'd made sure that the entire palace was secure, had set one team of guards to straightening up the place and another to patrolling the desert and widening loops around the palace. Someone had gone off to get in touch with Ashek to bring the spotted Anuba closer to hand, and emissaries had also gone out to the other tribes that Boba was friendly with, the Shaking Mountain and the Banded Crait and the rest. "Using the network to look for Hutt sympathizers isn't a bad idea," Boba observed when Din got to the part about running into Geeta. Din had carefully left out the bit about his struggle with the Weequay. The Weequay had surprised Din, but the entire fight had been over within seconds. It wasn't something that Boba needed to worry about. "It isn't," Din agreed, using a piece of bread to mop up the last stray bits of spicy sweet glaze on his plate. He and Boba had put an impressive dent in the bantha haunch. "But I'm still... I don't know, I don't like it." Something about the idea of using Geeta to hunt for Hutts bothered Din. It itched at him like a healing wound. It was... "She's been under my protection," Din thought. Maybe that was what was bothering him. He'd been looking after Geeta for weeks. She was... "She's just a kid." Geeta wasn't like Din or Fennec or Boba. She wasn't even like Kasik or Zero. She wasn't a hunter or an assassin or a guard or a smuggler. She was just a kid, and Din didn't like the idea of sending an untrained kid out to hunt for enemies. "But she isn't just a kid, is she? Geeta was part of the Ahra. She was in danger every day."
"Geeta did volunteer, sounds like," Boba pointed out. "If she wants to help..."
"Yeah, I know," Din muttered. "She had volunteered, and she wasn't Din's kid. If she wanted to help..." "She deserves her vengeance, too," Din thought. He hadn't realized that Geeta and Zero were close, but from the way Geeta had talked about him in the quarter, they had been. Gorga the Hutt had killed, however indirectly, Geeta's friend. If she wanted to help bring Gorga down for revenge, Din wouldn't, couldn't, by the laws of the creed he'd followed for most of his life, get in the way of that. But still. Boba sighed, pushing his own plate to the side.
"I know," he said. "I don't like it either. Geeta, she's tough. A survivor. And the others you mentioned. Kubo and Siolo and Yuna."
"I know Kubo. He already works for me."
Din's eyebrows went up.
"He does?"
Boba nodded.
"He's out in Mos Pelgo," he explained. "When I put out the word that I was looking for caravan guards and guards for the town, Fennec and I looked in the quarter first. Kubo Ra was one of the first to sign on."
"Oh," said Din, racking his memory. He thought back to his trip to Mos Pelgo when he'd asked for Vance's help looking for Paz and the others. Kirsha Littlemoon had been in the cantina, and she'd given Din the names of several of the town guards.
"Kubo's a crew leader," Din remembered. Kirsha had said that her crew worked most of the night shifts, and Kubo's crew worked during the day.
Boba inclined his head.
"A good one, too. Always turns his reports in on time. Gets along well with the locals. I dunno if these others, Siolo and Yuna, or his brothers, or if they're just all clan cousins, but if they're anything like Kubo, they'll be smart enough."
"That doesn't mean they're ready to go up against the Hutts," Din pointed out.
Boba grimaced, conceding that point.
"No," he said, "it doesn't. But Geeta... I don't know, Din. Kasik told me a bit about where he found her after her mother came to us for help. If Gita could survive that, she can survive asking a few questions or listening in a few doorways in Mos Eisley. Have Shand look after her when she's back up on her feet, Bub added, when he saw that Din's brow was still pinched together unhappily. She's got a head for whisper work, she can at least keep Gita from wandering into something she won't be able to get out of. That wasn't a bad idea. Fennec already managed most of Boba's spies, from what Din understood. Running a few more in Mos Eisley probably wouldn't impact her workload much. She looked better when I came in, Din offered. She and I talked a little this morning. Din had also left most of the details about the morning, including his fight with Paz, out of his report to Boba. He didn't need to give Boba any more reasons to kick Paz and the others out of the palace. Paz already strained Boba's patience just by being a Vizsla. Boba nodded. I know, he said. I went to see her this afternoon. She's madder than a mudhorn, but she should be back on her feet within the next 2 days or so. Din tilted his head a little, surprised to hear Boba mention mudhorns. He'd left his armor downstairs, but his hand twitched towards his right shoulder anyway, where his mudhorn usually snarled. You know what a mudhorn is? Din asked curiously. I'd never heard of them until I ran into one. Din hadn't told Boba that story yet, about Arvala 7, about how Din had found Grogu, about how Din and Grogu together had earned their clan signet. Boba had not been particularly impressed to hear about Din's run-in with a bladeback boar, so Din doubted he'd be happy about Din getting nearly trampled to death by a mudhorn either. Boba cut Din a sharp look, but nodded. I have seen a few, Boba acknowledged. They're not half as common in pit fights as Rancors or Nidaks or Jetas. But I've seen them before.
Back when you were a pit fighter?
Part-time pit fighter, Boba corrected, smiling crookedly. But yeah, never had to fight one, though. I don't recommend it unless you've got a kid who can lift things with his mind, Din muttered. A lot of Din's hunts had blurred together in his memory over the years, but that hunt stuck out as clear as chrism. Din could still feel that wild edge of desperation if he thought about it, the way his hands had shook as he'd leveled his Verd knife, ready to die. The confusion as the mudhorn had frozen mid-charge, as it had started to rise above Arvala 7's red dirt. That, Din reflected, far enough past that day to be a little amused instead of pulse-poundingly terrified, was probably when things started to get weird. Boba's eyebrows went up, but he didn't push for more information. Din was grateful. If Boba started asking about every dangerous situation Din had gotten himself into, they were going to be here until the suns rose, and Din had rather hoped that they'd spend their night a different way. Grogu came in pretty handy for a Jedi kid, Din offered. Boba snorted. If he can lift a mudhorn with his mind, yeah, Jarka. I'd say he's cocking Piramoy. Jedi kids are dangerous, my father said, because they don't stop to think about what they can do, they just do it. Din smiled. The other Jedi have said something similar, he said, mostly just to see Boba pull a disgusted face at being compared to a Jedi. But I don't know, I was pretty dangerous once I figured out how to use a paint grenade. Mandalorian kids are plenty dangerous, too. That they are, Boba grumbled. You tell the Raidike that their kids are sneaking around after dark? Strill knows about it, Din said. She'll probably put a stop to it now that the palace has been attacked, but... Din had to break off into a jaw-cracking yawn, his long day and a good meal catching up with him all at once. Boba's mouth turned up at the corners, which made Din's ears burn a little. But I'm a little too old to be creeping around the palace after dark, Din admitted, a little wistful. As a kid, he'd loved poking around while everyone else in the covert had been asleep. Din could still stay up for a few days at a time if he was working, but if he wasn't working, he preferred to get a few hours of sleep in where he could. Boba, still smiling a little, looked Din up and down. Tired? He asked. Din nodded. He was. Not too tired, he clarified. If Boba wanted to, then didn't know, do something, Din would probably be fine. Boba raised his eyebrows again, eyes glittering. Not too tired, he echoed. What does that mean, Jarka? I'm probably not up for a spar, Din admitted. Ushib had done a good job patching Dan up from his scuffle with Paz, and Bacta had done its work too, but he was still sore, and a spar would strain him further. "Noted," said Boba. He looked Dan up and down again. A faint frown pulled his mouth down out of its fond smile. "You get hurt on your hunt? In the desert?" "Not in the desert," Din muttered. He carefully met Boba's eyes. Boba's expression darkened. "Here?" he pressed. "With Vizsla?" "Honesty," Din reminded himself. "A little. Not anything serious," he added hastily when Boba's expression darkened like the sky before a sandstorm. "We had a misunderstanding."
"A misunderstanding?" Boba growled. "That mean he tried to kill you?"
"No," said Din, "because Paz hadn't. He'd tried to hurt Din to satisfy his own honor, the honor of the tribe. But he hadn't tried to kill him." "But we had a disagreement. It's fine now. We're fine."
"Vizsla," Boba said, his voice dripping with doubt, "is fine with you."
Din cleared his throat. He was losing control of the conversation.
"I won," Din said.
I kicked him in his bad leg after... It doesn't matter. He didn't... We fought. It was stupid. Neither of us should have done it, but we did, and I won, and... "And Strill," Din said, hoping to at least soften Boba's opinion of the other Mandalorian some, "told Paz that he was being an idiot. Ushib did, too. And Paz, he's gonna let it go."
"Let what go?"
Boba growled. Din gestured at himself. "Me," he said. "That I'm Darmanda," he said. "He said that his honor has been satisfied." Boba made a wordless sound, low and angry. Din made himself look at Boba, really look at him, meeting those dark eyes.
"He's going to let it go," Din repeated. "And I'm... He didn't really hurt me. We've had worse fights."
Not many worse fights, but the first time Din had come back from a hunt after being named Baroya, Paz had challenged him in front of the forge and had fought like Rancor. He'd broken 3 of Din's ribs that time. But Din had won then, just like he'd won this morning, and ribs healed. The gash on Din's arm would heal.
"You said that Ushib had to get involved."
"More on Paz's behalf than mine," Din said. Boba gave him a flat look. Din sighed. "I got stabbed," he said. "But it's fine, Boba, really." Boba stared at Din for a long moment. Din couldn't help but tense. It wasn't... Din knew that Boba and Paz were never going to get along. That was fine. Din and Paz hadn't gotten along for most of their adult lives. Din didn't need Boba and Paz to understand each other. "But I don't want them to be enemies."
"Show me," said Boba, flatly.
Din obeyed. He tugged his shirt off artlessly, tossing it to the floor, and turned in his chair a little so that Boba could see the wound Paz had left in Din's arm. Most of the Jurab Ushib had applied had flaked off in the sonic. Din had smeared some fresh Bacta over it before he'd come up to Boba's rooms. The wound had started to heal some, but the skin around Ushib's neat stitches was still red and swollen. Once the last of Din's amoxin wore off, he'd be able to feel it. "It's not that bad of an injury," Din thought. He'd had plenty worse. He would heal. He always did. He wasn't expecting Boba to stand up and prowl around the side of the table, reaching out to take Din's arm in hand and study the injury intently. Din, as always, shivered at the first brush of contact. Boba's fingers were warm on his arm, and Boba was gentle with the red, angry edges of Din's wound, despite the expression clouding his face.
"Ushib does good work," Boba finally said, still looking at the gash.
"I told you," Din said. "It wasn't bad. Just a disagreement." That wasn't the right word for it. It was the Creed. The Creed declared that those who were Darmanda were a threat to the covert, that Din was dishonorable, and that he was suffering. It had been both an honor and a mercy that Paz had been trying to bestow, even though he'd been half-hearted about it. But Din didn't have the words to describe that to Boba. Boba had never sworn the creed. He hadn't grown up with it. He wouldn't understand. Boba snorted softly. "A disagreement," he repeated. "Between Mandalorians." Din resisted the urge to pull his shoulders up around his ears. "Between Paz and me," he corrected. "We've always been like that, since we were kids. A kick in the shebs is the only way to make Paz listen." "It's the only way to make you listen sometimes," Boba muttered. Din tensed. "Paz and I, we've always been too similar," Din said. Boba ran a thumbnail under the swollen edge of Din's cut. Din let him. "That's the problem with us. Too stubborn. Too... what have you said before? Uribusha Kikuvid? All helmet, no sense." Din and Paz were perfectly capable of rational thought on their own. Din wouldn't have survived 15 years of hunting if he hadn't been able to think clearly, to set aside his anger, his frustrations, and work. But whenever Din and Paz had gotten together, all of that fled to the back of Din's mind like a womp rat hiding from the suns, replaced by the urge to prove myself, Din thought, a little bitterly. Boba grunted. "I don't like that he hurt you," he said. Din could say several things to that. "You hurt me too," he could say, but that was different. Din thought he understood what Boba was getting at. Boba hurt Din, but Din wanted Boba to hurt him, and Din could stop Boba if he wanted to. If it hurt too badly or hurt in the wrong way, he could say Gev right now and Boba would pull away, would let Din go, would leave Din alone. "I can't do that with Paz." "It's all right," Din said gently. "Really." Boba made another wordless sound, its edge sharp with frustration. "This is normal for you," he said. It wasn't a question, but Din's back bristled like it was. "It's fine," Din repeated. Boba's hand tightened fractionally around Din's arm. "Is this what your creed demands?" he asked. "Bloodshed? Scars? Punishment for making a mistake?" "I've already told you," Din said, trying not to growl right back. "Breaking the creed, it wasn't a mistake." "But what if it had been?" Boba returned. What if you'd just been unlucky, taken a hit, been captured? What if you'd been knocked unconscious and one of your allies had taken your helmet off to give you medical treatment?" For a second, Din was on Navarro again, ears ringing and blood in his eyes. He still didn't know how he'd known then that the injury he'd taken after the web cannon had blown had been fatal, but he'd known, he'd felt it. Din's death had been crouched outside of that cantina door like a panting Vornskr, waiting for Din to stop fighting. Din swallowed. "What if you'd broken your creed by mistake?" Boba repeated. He ran a thumb over Din's cut, less gentle this time. Din hissed. Pain flickered. "Would this still have been the price?" Din did wrench his arm away then. Boba let him. His mouth was set in a grim line. "I don't know," Din said. "I don't..." He shook his head. If Din had broken the creed by mistake... It was one thing, he thought, to take his helmet off to save Grogu's life. Din had done that intentionally. He had chosen it. He'd broken the creed, but he'd done it of his own free will. If someone else had removed his helmet... Din swallowed. He saw what Boba was getting at. "If someone else had removed my helmet, I might have let Paz kill me." "It's not like that," Din said hoarsely. Boba kept looking at him. Din could feel the heat of his gaze on his cheekbone. "Like what?" Boba rumbled. Like this," Din said, gesturing between himself and Boba. "The creed wasn't... Paz isn't... He's not
punishing me. He's not absolving me. It's not a carking contract.
Killing you. Or trying to kill you, Bubba corrected when he saw Dan open his mouth furiously to argue. Isn't a punishment.
No, said Dan. He knew that he'd told Bubba before that what Dan let Bubba do, the floggings, the clamps, all of it, wasn't a punishment for breaking the creed, because only Paz or another Mandalorian from the covert could do that. But he hadn't meant that there is a punishment for breaking the creed, he thought. The punishment was becoming Darmanda, Arweti. Paz had only been trying to put Dan out of his imagined misery. Paz had been trying to spare Dan any more dishonor.
Imagined misery, Din thought, startled by it.
Is it?
He thought about it for a moment, jaw working. Bubba saw that he was thinking and let him do it, which Din appreciated. He wanted to follow that thought for a minute without being interrupted, without having to defend himself.
Imagined misery.
When Din had woken up in the Bacta tank on the light cruiser, he had been miserable. Tired and in pain and grieving and alone. Surrounded by Mandalorians who couldn't understand him. He'd wanted Grogu. He'd wanted to be left alone. He'd wanted his covert.
But now... Now I'm too carking busy to be miserable, Din thought wryly.
And more than that, Din was so far removed from who he'd been, how he'd felt on the light cruiser, that it was startling. He had allies, friends. Grogu was alive and well and happy. Din had work. Not a covert to feed, but I have people like Geeta to look after, Din thought. Bulba to guard, Fennec to spar with. It wasn't quite the same as having a tribe, because the tribe had all been bound to the same creed, had understood each other in a way that went deeper than bone. But still, it's not that much different, either. If Din had died, if he'd killed himself, if he'd thrown himself onto a blaster bolt or a knife, Jalto's claws, into the sands from the top of Boba's tower... If he had died, Din wouldn't have ever found this. This, he didn't know what to call it. He was Boba's Talvod, Fennec's friend. A bounty hunter, even if he did it for a crime boss instead of his covert. I'm not miserable, Din thought. He had lost his creed, but, he thought. The thought struck Din between the eyes. It was blasphemy. It was wrong. Everything he'd been taught as a child in the covert said that what Din was thinking, the string of words that had come together in his head like pearls in a crate dragon's belly, was wrong. Oridush. Din felt like he was standing at the edge of a very high cliff, balanced precariously on a sharp, thin edge, looking out over the sands, swaying in the wind. He felt like there were stars at his back watching him, their eyes cold and bright and fierce. He felt like he would die if he fell. He felt like he'd die if he stayed where he was. Din looked up at Bubba. He took a deep breath. He stepped off that ledge in his heart and said, I lost my creed, but there's more to live for in the galaxy. It's not just the creed. Din stumbled a little. It's not just being Mandalorian. Din didn't have to be Mandalorian to be happy, to have a life that mattered, to live at all. He knew that now. The creed said that thinking that way was wrong, that Din should be driven out for even thinking it, that he should never touch Beskar again. But Din didn't understand how it could be wrong. I don't think that Paz understands that yet, Din said softly. I didn't understand it, not until I'd lived with my choices for a while.
pauses. He's already different than he was in the covert. I mean, he just has to live in the galaxy for a while. Din suspected that Strill, and maybe Shag, though Din had spent more time with Strill, was already starting to draw her own conclusions about the Creed, about the difference between doctrine and survival. She'd been willing to accept Din, after all. She'd called him her brother, even though she'd said Darvod instead of Orivod. She'd said both words the same way. So I guess I don't know, Din continued. He met Boba's eyes. Boba's expression had softened. The fierce sandstorm clouds had broken up and faded away. I don't know if this blood, a fight, whatever you're talking about, still would have been the price if I'd broken the creed by mistake instead of intentionally. I don't know, but it's something I have to live with, Din wanted to say. He bit his tongue. Yeah, said Boba, his voice just as quiet as Din's. I get it. Kind of, I think. Din nodded. He heard the name hovering unsaid in the air. Jango Fett. We don't have to keep talking about it, Din said. He didn't want to talk about it anymore, and he could tell that Boba didn't want to dig any deeper either. This sort of thing, this grief, it was... It's private. Din loved Boba. He had cradled that love to his chest like a coal still warm from the forge. But just as Din couldn't understand what it was like to live his entire life in his father's shadow, because Din's father had never cast a shadow over him at all, Boba couldn't understand what it was to live a life under the same handful of words and then throw those words away. But he can get pretty close, Din thought. We really don't have to keep talking about it, Din added. Things between me and Paz aren't ever going to be like they were, but he's not going to try to kill me. He's going to let me go. His honor is satisfied. Boba rolled his eyes a little, but swayed backwards half a step. I don't see what his honor has got to do with any of it, he grumbled. Our survival is our strength, Din said, reaching back for the Alor's particular cadence. She had always made the words sound like half a song. And our strength is our tribe. My honor was the tribe's honor. Paz's honor is the tribe's honor. Boba studied Din intently. That's an interesting way of looking at life, he finally said. Din raised an eyebrow. What does that mean? Boba grimaced. It means that I don't know what a carking means, actually. Despite the profanity, Boba said that calmly enough. He shrugged. It's not how I grew up, I guess. I don't even think it was how my father grew up. From what I know of the true Mandalorians, they weren't... There were clans, but none who were so singular, so clan-focused. If my father carked up on a hunt, it didn't shame Jaster Muriel. Din blinked. Really? My father was his own man, Boba pointed out. Sure, Jaster probably was disappointed in my dad a time or two, but it wasn't how you describe your tribe. Oh. Din wasn't really sure what to do with that information. He tucked it away for later. Boba, he said for a third time, we don't have to... We can talk about something else. Do something else. Boba snorted, though his eyes were brightening again. What did you have in mind, he said, since you can't spar? I didn't say that I couldn't spar, Din retorted. Just that it probably isn't a good idea. Boba sobered a little again. Are you hurt anywhere else? Any other stab wounds? Not really, Din assured him. The one from the raid is healing. I am sore, Din admitted. But not dead, Boba, really. Let me see? Boba phrased it as a question this time. Obligingly, Din spread his arms out.
The motion jarred his stiff shoulders and he winced, but he could at least raise his arm some, so he could have been in worse shape given how hard Paz had tackled him earlier. Given the weak way in the alley, the general chaos of the last several days. Boba stepped in close again, reaching out to set a hand against Din's side. He traced the healing wound just underneath Din's ribs. The skin around it was dark with a bruise, probably from where Paz had checked into the floor. But the wound had healed enough that it hadn't reopened. The scar was still new, shiny and dark, and Din didn't have much feeling left in it. He let Boba roam. Boba slid his hand higher, palming Din's ribs, feeling for any stiffness or soreness, then followed the front of Din's left shoulder. His fingers found a sore spot. Din hissed when Boba pressed down. Boba frowned, fingers probing, then moved on. He skated across the front of Din's chest, then followed the line of Din's right arm. He found more soreness there, a bruise at the wrist, an ache in Din's elbow, weakness in Din's fingers. Boba finally pulled away with an irritated grunt. Din eyed him. "I've got an idea," Boba said. As usual, the words sparked something, interest and apprehension both, in Din's belly. "I'm listening," said Din warily. Boba grinned at him. It was good to see him smile after how dark his expression had been only a few minutes ago, so Din made himself relax a little. "You ever spend some time in a Rillish bathhouse?" Boba asked. Din stared at him. Boba chuckled. "I'm gonna take that as a no," he said. "Of course it's a no," Din said. "When would I have spent time in a Rillish bathhouse?" Boba shrugged. "Even Baroia like you need to let off some tension every once in a while, yeah? It's not a bad place to relax." Din hadn't ever been in a Rillish bathhouse, so he couldn't say for sure, but he'd thought that the appeal of an establishment like that was paying a stranger to touch one's naked body. Maybe slather it with scented oils, give it a shave if necessary. Din had no interest in letting strangers touch him without his armor on. He'd never even considered visiting a Rillish bathhouse or any place like it. But Boba has? Boba had done a lot of things that Din had never considered. Din had never thought about making a little extra clink down in fighting pits. He'd never thought to find a bathhouse to relax in. "Well," Boba continued, his voice deepening, "I've been in one a time or two, and I've picked up a few things. I could help you feel better if you like." That sounded like a trap. Din eyed Boba again, suspicious. "When you say it like that, you make it sound like I'm gonna regret agreeing," Din said. Boba chuckled. "You won't," he promised. His eyes glittered. That gave Din some pause. Boba didn't lie, if nothing else was constant, as Din had shifted from one life to another. That was. Boba kept his word. If he said that Din wouldn't regret agreeing to whatever it was that Boba had in mind, then Din probably wouldn't. Still, though, Din thought, the way Boba phrased it sounded like a trap. Boba's teeth glinted when he smiled again. "Come on, Jerrica," Boba said, his voice gone sweet. He was coaxing and not ordering, which meant something, Din was sure. He didn't know what it meant, but it had to mean something. "That this'll be different than what we usually do, maybe," Din wondered. Whatever Boba had planned, it couldn't be worse than continuing to argue about whether or not Din's creed was wrong. "All right," Din said, trying not to sound too wary. "How do you want me?" Din asked. He had to pause to clear his throat in the middle, but managed to get the words out without too much trepidation. Boba's eyes flashed. "On the bed should be fine. Naked," he added, tracking Din's face. Din predictably flushed a little, but he did his best to keep from reddening all the way down his throat, his chest. "One of these days that's not going to work on me anymore," Din grumbled. Now that Din had agreed to whatever scheme Boba had cooked up, Boba's tone had shifted from coaxing to an order, albeit a gentle one. Din obeyed the order anyway, standing up and padding around the room to Boba's bed, where he shucked off the rest of his clothes. This part was still new enough to trip Din up a little. He didn't know entirely what to do with his body. Boba didn't seem to mind, because he followed Din close as a beloved hound. And when Din turned round to ask how Boba wanted him on the bed, took Din by the hip, reeled him in, caught his mouth in a searing kiss. This was still a little new, too, but growing more familiar each time Din and Boba did it. Din was learning the shape of Boba's mouth, the way he liked to run his tongue over Din's teeth, the pleased sounds he made when Din surrendered to the kiss, let Boba in. Boba's hand curled over Din's hip. Din swayed towards Boba instinctively, reaching out to catch Boba by the soft, worn fabric of his shirt. Boba made an approving sound against Din's mouth. His thumb stroked Din's hip, and then his hand shifted, skimming across Din's pelvis, waking all of the nerves there, the pads of his fingers catching on Din's inner thigh. When Boba's hands brushed Din's balls, his cock, which was stirring as the kiss woke pleasure and desire in Din's belly, sent heat scattering down his spine, Din couldn't quite manage to catch the sound he made, a hiss, a groan of pain. Boba pulled away. Din made a frustrated noise at the loss. He could handle it, the ache in his groin that still burned low in his belly. Boba pulled even farther back, putting enough space between himself and Din so that he could see what had happened, though he kept a steadying hand on Din's hip. When he saw the bruising, the swelling, much darker than it had been when Din and Boba had dressed this morning and said their goodbyes, Boba's eyebrows furrowed. Some of the open hunger in his expression dropped off. Din, he said, and Din groaned. The shift from Jerrica to Din meant that Boba wanted to talk again. It's fine, Din said quickly. I didn't do this, Boba said. He looked Din in the eye. Did I? No, Din said reluctantly. Not all of it. Boba had left a mark on Din. Tenderness, the blue stain of broken capillaries. What Paz had left was different. Din had applied Bacta before he'd flown out to the Jundland Wastes, but even with that, the thin skin of his sack was purple and blue, the veins broken, hot and swollen to the touch. Flying around all day probably didn't help anything, Din thought. He'd been able to put most of the pain out of his mind because he'd had too much to do to be hobbled by how badly it ached. But now, watching Boba's expression darken again, Din almost wished he'd done something else, reapplied Bacta, maybe, taken another tab of Simoxin. Vizsla did this, Boba said. It wasn't a question. He did. There was no point in pretending otherwise. Boba had been in plenty of fights himself. He was just as capable of fighting dirty as Paz was. That's why I kicked him in the leg. He hurt you, Boba repeated. We were fighting, Din said. It happens, Boba. It wasn't. Boba made a sound, like a crate dragon beginning to puff up and warn off a rival, a deep, guttural noise that jolted through Din's body like a bolt of lightning. Are you jealous? Din asked, incredulous. That gave Boba a bit of pause. Not jealous, Boba said. He was clearly skirting the edges of their honesty rule, which made Din roll his eyes. He felt like Strill. Mandalorians. Really? I liked seeing my mark on you, Boba said. He skimmed a hand over Din's balls again, thumb brushing his cock, and it made arousal spark in Din's gut, even though their current topic of conversation was ridiculous. He didn't kick me in the balls to mark his territory, Boba, Din said, teeth gritted. He did it to be... Din stopped himself, because that wasn't fair. Paz hadn't... It wasn't some kind of contest between Boba and Paz. Paz had kicked Din in the balls because Paz had been trying to win the fight, that was all. There was no deeper meaning to it. But Boba was looking at Din, pensive, and Din had just gotten Boba to stop talking about Paz, about Din being Darmanda, and Din didn't want to drag this up again.
"If it really bothers you," Din muttered, still convinced that this was ridiculous, "you can mark me up again, Boba." Boba's eyes did glitter at that. The feeling of stepping into a cave with a crate dragon intensified. "A tempting offer. But I am not," said Boba, pressing closer, "going to hurt you tonight, Jerrica. You said it yourself. You're tired. I'm tired." "Doesn't it help you?" Din pressed. "Hurting me." That was what Boba had always gotten out of all this, wasn't it? Din got pain. Boba got to give pain. But no, Din thought, catching himself. "That's not all Boba gets out of this. He also gets... he gets control." Din turned that thought over in his head for a moment, then nodded to himself, coming to a decision. "Or," Din said, watching Boba watch him, is there something else you had in mind, this Relish thing?" Boba's expression sharpened. "This Relish thing," he agreed. Din swallowed. He was apprehensive and didn't know why, but he had been apprehensive before and everything had turned out well, so he was willing to give whatever this was a try. "Will it... do you want that?" Din asked. "Will it... I dunno, will it help you?" "Help me what?" Boba asked. Though he didn't sound accusing, he sounded mostly curious, like he was willing to let Din work to figure this out. "Help you... will it help you with what happened today?" Din gestured at himself, at the marks Paz had left on his body. "Or with what happened in the palace?" Din didn't know that Boba had taken much time to try and rest since the palace had been attacked. He and Boba had bumped Beskar, but aside from that, Din doubted that the other man had taken any time to try and center himself. Din thought of that quiet place he'd managed to reach in his own head under Boba's hands, or his flogger, or even those clamps, the Wishok silk, Boba's cock. Is it like that for Boba, too? Din squared his shoulders. Do you want to do this?" he asked. Boba studied him for another minute, then nodded. "I do," he said. "And I think that you'll like it, too. It might be strange what I've got in mind, but it'll be... good. Different, I think, but good." Din's apprehension mounted, but he nodded anyway. "You're sure?" Boba said. "We don't have to. There are other ways to relax." "This will help Boba. He wants to do this." I trust you," said Din. As always, his admission of trust made Boba soften, a pleased look crossing his face. "All right, then," Boba said. "Usual rules apply, Jerrica. If you have a question, ask it. If you need to stop, use Gav. Okay?" Din nodded again. "Okay," he said. "Good," said Boba, stepping closer. There wasn't anywhere for Din to go except back against the bed. So Din went, letting Boba tip him gently backwards. Din shuffled back, first sitting down and then using his arms and legs, all protesting faintly, to inch backwards until he was in the middle of Boba's bed, with Boba following after, crawling over Din's body like a hungry predator. Boba kissed Din again, deep and slow, and then pulled back a little. His eyes were dark and hungry. "Turn over," Boba murmured. His hand skimmed up Din's flanks again, light and teasing. Din eyed him, but obliged. He wriggled a little to get some room between the bed and Boba's body, then rolled over onto his stomach, shifting to try and find a position that didn't crush his balls or scrape against any of his recent injuries. Boba, of course, was no help at all. He shifted a little to give Din the room to turn over, but didn't move any further than that, which meant that Din knocked against Boba's shoulder as he turned, that he bumped Boba's hips, that Boba fitted himself flush against Din's back when Din had finished, his skin warm and his weight reassuring. Din was dizzy with it, if he was being honest with himself. It was... It was good to have Boba like this, touching Din everywhere. The sheets on Boba's bed no longer smelled just like Boba, his cedru and incense scent. Din could smell himself there too, the both of them together. Cedru and leather and Beskar polish, sweat and skin. It was confusing. Din didn't know what to expect. His shoulders pulled tight almost reflexively, a note of tension jangling harsh and discordant in the rising song of arousal and comfort and safety. Boba pressed a gentle kiss to the back of Din's neck, just below the last stray curls of his hair. He set his hands on Din's hips again, then wandered lower when Din's back tightened, muscles flexing.
"Relax," Boba said, instead of his usual rough curl of Mandoa. "You worry too much."
Boba's voice vibrated warmly against the base of Din's spine.
"Just relax, Jerrica."
"Easy for you to say," Din muttered. His own voice was mostly muffled by the pillow. He flexed his fingers, trying to focus on the texture of the sheets. He wanted something to hold on to. He missed the Wishok silk, as frightening as it had been to have all his limbs tied like that. The cool breeze across the back of his neck, the still-present ache low in his gut. Anything but Boba's mouth against his skin, Boba's fingers gently kneading the tense muscles of Din's upper thighs.
Boba chuckled.
"It is easy for me to say this time," he allowed. "You miss the silk, don't you?" There was no point in pretending otherwise. Boba was apparently a carking mind reader. Din nodded. At least his face was hidden like this, at least Boba couldn't see how much Din missed the Wishok silk, how much he wanted something to hold on to resist against.
"Maybe next time," Boba said. His tone was soothing.
Din dug his fingers into the sheets and held on. It wasn't the same as the Wishok silk, but if Din hung on as hard as he could, an ache building in his bad hand up his wrist, it was something to hang on to pull against.
"Maybe next time," Boba repeated, against the meat of Din's left shoulder.
He pushed down with his thumbs, digging into Din's tense thighs, and another hiss pulled itself out of Din. Already, Din's skin felt too warm, a heat blooming in his belly that he couldn't control. It wasn't even the pain. Boba's massaging hands weren't comfortable exactly, but they didn't hurt either.
"It's just that it's Boba," Din thought.
Din's body had learned what to expect when he was in Boba's bed. Din tried to will himself not to get aroused. He was sore still, his cock was trapped against his hip and his balls pressed gently to the bed. All the same tension tangled his belly along with that heat. Din felt his heartbeat echoing in his stomach in the thin skin of his inner thighs. Boba made another low, wordless noise. He pressed another light, teasing kiss to the top of Din's spine and started to work at the muscles of Din's thighs in earnest, seeking out tension and kneading it away. He worked Din's thighs until Din had melted against him, then moved up to Din's back, then down to Din's calves when Din had hissed as Boba tried to work over his sore shoulder.
"It's really not about pain tonight," Din thought, still dazed.
Boba had left Din's shoulder alone, judging it too sore to work with, and had gone down to work on Din's legs instead. He hadn't pushed. Boba left boneless warmth in his wake. Before long, Din couldn't tense his legs or his lower back if he tried. All of his muscles there felt liquid and shapeless. He could still pull tension high in his shoulders, back bunching, but there's no reason to, Din thought. He slumped deeper into Boba's mattress and expressed his appreciation with a soft groan. Boba chuckled and shifted his weight. He'd started, balanced on his knees, kneeling between Din's own knees while Din sprawled deeper into the mattress. Boba's hands drifted upwards, tracing the very tops of Din's thighs just under the swell of his ass, then tracing higher. His thumbs dug into the meat of Din's ass for a moment. Din couldn't help but try to tense instinctively, even though there was no dislodging Boba. Even though he didn't want to dislodge Boba. Boba's massage had done its work, though, and now Din's whole body was loose and sleepy.
He wasn't fast enough to stop Boba from taking hold of Din's ass, one cheek in each hand, thumbs pushing towards the middle, spreading Din open. And even though he was loose and sleepy, Din still blushed furiously anyway. Boba made a deep, appreciative sound. It wasn't praise, exactly, but it was close enough that Din couldn't help but tangle his fingers harder into the sheets. His flanks twitched. He didn't resist any further than that. He didn't try to crane his head around to see what was happening either, what Boba looked like. Boba chuckled, leaning down again to press a sharp kiss to the small of Din's back. That, his mouth, soft and gentle and sweet, his hands like vises, made anticipation flutter in Din's stomach. He swallowed. "Udesi," Boba rumbled, and there was the reassurance Din had expected. It made his heart beat even out a little. "How you feeling, Jerrica? You want to keep going?" Din hesitated, but nodded. "Yeah," he said. "I'm fine. We can keep going." Boba, thankfully, didn't ask Din again. It wasn't that Din was afraid, it was just... "I don't know what Boba wants," Din thought. With a flogging, Din knew what Boba wanted. He wanted to hit Din. He wanted to see marks bloom across Din's back, hear the sounds that Din made. With this... "Udesi," Boba repeated, and leaned in again. He started in familiar enough territory. Din had had Boba's mouth on him before, Boba's hands on his ass. This was... It hadn't happened often enough to be routine, but it was familiar, at least. Boba kept Din spread open, tracing the seam of Din's ass with his thumbs, pushing at the soft skin of Din's inner thighs, stroking feather light over the tender skin around his balls, over Din's hole. Din's heart began to beat faster. Boba felt it pick up and chuckled, his voice vibrating against Din's skin like struck Beskar. He pressed another kiss to the small of Din's back, and then began to work his way down. He licked over the jut of one of Din's hips, pressed a kiss to the swell of Din's ass. Boba's nose followed the path of his thumbs, pressed in closer. Din's heart leapt up into his throat. He'd never... This was... "Boba," said Din, unsteady. Boba hummed, and the sound of it vibrated against Din's ass. Boba's breath ghosted over his hole. Din couldn't help but react on instinct then. He tried to jerk away, feet scrambling for purchase, tried to close his legs to... Din didn't know what he was trying to do. He didn't, in his head, want Boba to stop. But it was... He had never done something like this before. Even when Boba had fucked Din, even when he'd taken Din into his mouth, he hadn't done anything like this. Bumping Beskar was... Din knew that it happened, that beings enjoyed it. He'd been familiar enough with what went where, had had hands on his cock before, had had someone inside him. He'd never had anyone suck him off like Boba had. But Din had known that beings enjoyed that, too. This. Din had never heard of anyone enjoying this. Is this what Boba learned in a Relish bathhouse? Din wondered, nerves mounting. "You don't need to be so shy, Shere," Boba said, his voice deep and dark, as warm as an embrace. "Relax, let me take care of you, hmm?" This is what he wants, Din reminded himself. He'd asked Boba what he wanted, what would help Boba, and this was what Boba had chosen. "Sorry," Din muttered, trying to force himself to relax again. Boba had worked so hard to ease the tension out of Din's body. "Sorry, it's... new," Boba suggested. He hadn't moved any farther away, his breath still warm and wet and hot against Din's asshole. A promise, a threat. But he didn't press in closer, either. "It's all right, Jerrica. Just Breathe for me. Settle down. His last words carried the weight of an order. Din nodded into the bed. He could do that. He took a shuddering breath, trying to rein in his confusion, his fear. It didn't help that Din still wanted this to happen. His cock had started to plump up again, blood and heat pooling low in his belly. Arousal was sparkling bright in his stomach. His body knew what it wanted. It was Din's head that was confused. Din swallowed, took another breath. He focused all of his attention on deliberately tensing and then relaxing his body. His back, his shoulders, his legs. It ached, but then the ache faded when Din made himself relax. Boba made an approving sound against the seam of Din's ass, and this time Din managed to melt into it instead of pulling tighter. I've liked most things that Boba's done to me, Din reminded himself. This is new, but it's not bad. Very good, Boba murmured, the praise warm. Just hold on to the sheets, Jerrica. You'll like this, I promise. Din nodded again, jerky. Boba, permission finally granted, pressed closer. He spread Din's ass cheeks wider. Din couldn't help but catch his breath. Boba hummed, pleased by Din's obedience, and licked a broad, wet stripe up Din's ass. Din moaned, shocked. He'd had Boba's mouth on him before, but never there. Boba seemed to like the noise that Din had made, because he did it again. Din's whole body shook. This time Boba's tongue caught just a little on Din's hole, the texture strange, and Din had to strangle a shout. Boba chuckled again, amused, and kept doing it, lapping at the swollen skin behind Din's balls at the edges of his hole. Din knew what was coming next. He fought down the urge to tense, to curl up, knowing the only way to stop Boba now was to say Gev. And moaned again, helplessly, when Boba circled his tongue around Din's hole, and then pressed in. Din jerked, breath stuttering in his throat. His hands were curled so tightly in the sheets that Din thought for sure that he was going to tear them. Then Boba moved, his tongue working deeper into Din's ass, and Din couldn't stop the thin cry that clawed its way out of his throat, high and needy. It was strange. Boba's fingers hadn't felt like this. Wet and warm and agile, laving over Din's rim, stretching him open in a new and strange way. It wasn't like Boba's cock, either. Boba's tongue couldn't get as deeply inside of Din as his big hands or his cock, but knowing that it was Boba's mouth, that Boba was exploring Din like this, made Din's stomach clench, pleasure danced up his spine. It even hurt a little. Not Boba's mouth or his tongue, but Boba's hands were firm as they held Din open, unyielding, and Din's cock ached as it swelled. Boba's stubble, thin as it was, burned a little against Din's skin. He wasn't used to any texture here. Din's hands ached where they clung to the sheets. By the time Boba finally pulled away, Din was shivering all over. His flanks heaved. Tiny sounds kept catching behind his teeth. He felt wet and open and bare, the breeze that drifted through the room uniquely cold as it brushed over the sensitive, flushed skin of his asshole. Boba pulled back, still spreading Din's cheeks wide, and made a deep, satisfied sound. "Jatisich," Boba declared. Din didn't have to understand the word to understand the sentiment, the praise. He made a high sound, voice breaking, and blushed hot and red all the way down his chest. Boba shifted, crowding closer, leaning up to press an opened-mouth kiss to one of Din's shoulder blades. His chin was wet, and he finally let go of Din's ass, moving his hand up to stroke at Din's sides, at his ribcage. His touch was so achingly gentle that Din almost didn't know what to do with it. He gulped in another breath, more affected than he thought he'd be. "Shatisich," Boba repeated, low and sweet. He nosed at the back of Din's neck. Boba was breathing hard too, which made Din feel a little better. He wasn't the only one who was affected. The change in position let Din feel just how affected Boba really was. His cock was hard and hot against Din's thighs, warm as it slid easily through the slick skin between Din's cheeks. If Boba rolled his hips just a little, his cock would drag against Din's wet hole. Din was open already. He could probably take Boba like this. It would ache. Boba's cock was bigger than his tongue, thicker, longer. But Din could take it. I want to take it, Din thought. He shuddered again, hot all over. Boba palmed his flanks and mouth at Din's shoulder blade again.
You know what Jatisish means, Sherika? Boba rumbled.
He said the word honey-sweet and slow, dragging each syllable out like a decadent treat on his tongue.
No, Din rasped honestly.
He tried to get his voice, his breathing, back under control, but it was hard with Boba pressed against him like this, with the head of Boba's cock teasing Din's hole, catching just a little on the rim of it like his tongue had.
It means, Boba said, mouth hot as a brand against Din's back.
Delicious. Din moaned again, shocked. He couldn't help it. He didn't... No one said things like that. Not to Din, not with such sincerity.
Boba promised not to lie, Din thought, dazed, grasping for the rules he and Boba had agreed to.
Boba had promised not to lie, and that meant that he was telling the truth, that he thought that the taste of Din on his tongue was...
Jatisish, Din thought.
Din didn't know what to do with that except moan again, the sound breaking in his throat, and rock his own hips a little. He was hard too, cock trapped and leaking against his belly, and moving like that was shockingly good. Not only did it give Din friction on his own cock, it brought him into sweet electric contact with Boba's. Dragged the hot, thick length of it across his asshole, the head just a fraction too blunt, too wide to slip in on its own.
If Boba just makes me take it, Din thought, half mad with the sudden and bone-deep need to have Boba inside of him, to be full Boba all around him, catching him like the sideways glancing blow of a knife. He wanted it.
Boba had left Din enough freedom to move around a little this time. Din wasn't tied down or totally pinned underneath Boba's weight. Din wanted Boba, and he thought he might know how to get it. Slowly, carefully, face burning with embarrassment even as the strength of his desire made his cock twitch and leak, Din shifted. He kept his shoulders and chest pressed against the bed. He couldn't imagine looking Boba in the eye while he did this, but pushed himself up on his knees just a little, flexed his hips, let go of the bed finally, untangled his fingers from the sheets, and brought his hands around to replace Boba's. Din's fingers shook a little, but his nerve held, and he spread his own cheeks for Boba, held himself open, bared. His fingers slipped in the cooling mess of saliva and sweat Boba had left behind. Din's heart stuttered. He burned with embarrassment. This was... He felt like an Anuba in heat, crouching in front of anything with a cock, lifting his tail, begging to be mounted. He felt like a stranger in his own body. He felt like Boba's.
Please, Din said, voice cracking.
And Boba surged forward with a growl that Din felt in his bones, taking Din by the hips and rolling his own in a filthy, slow slide that had Din's voice cracking again when Boba's cock dragged him from the back of his balls to the rim of his hole.
Good boy, Boba growled, his voice wrecked and ragged.
Din took some courage from that. Boba wanted this too. Din could feel it. Boba
wants me like this, Din thought. Half out of my mind, but half out of my mind from Boba's touch, from the promise of Boba's cock, from letting Boba do this to Din, letting Boba take Din apart, trusting Boba with this. Din saw the shape of Boba's desire so clearly it was like he'd slipped into Boba's thoughts, like they were one, even though Boba hadn't fucked him yet tonight.
Good boy, Orijate. Bidsharish, gar orner.
The Mandoa was just nonsense to Din at this point, because Boba was punctuating every word with another slow drag of his hips, and Din was spreading himself wider and wider, digging his fingers into his cheeks, trying to open himself wide enough for Boba's cock to catch. But it was all praise, all adoration, and it sparkled up Din's spine like Boba's light, closed-mouth kisses. Din's cock twitched again. He couldn't believe that he was so close, just from this, from a little rutting, a little kissing, a little of whatever Boba had done to him with his mouth.
Is it just because it's Boba? Because Boba knew him? Because Boba knew how to wring pleasure and pain from him like no one else?
Bidsharish, Boba repeated. You want me to fuck you, Jerrica? Please, Din said, his voice just as ragged and wrecked as Boba's. It felt like the only thing he could say, the only word he could form. Most of his apprehension had disappeared when he'd realized that Boba wanted this just as much as Din did. Please, Boba, I...
Udesi, Boba murmured.
His voice was strained, but he slowed his rolling hips, managed to stop himself, though his grip on Din was still bruising.
Udesi, let me get something, okay?
Din groaned, in displeasure this time, unwilling to lose the warmth of Boba's body even for a handful of seconds. Boba managed to chuckle at that. He loosened his grip on Din's hips.
I don't want to hurt you, Boba said. Not tonight. Give me a second.
Fine, Din grumbled, wilting a little. Boba patted Din's hip affectionately.
Sweet, he repeated.
Din craned his neck around a little to try and catch Boba's eye. He was still blushing, glowing with it, and his heart was kicking against his ribs. Boba looked just as hungry as Din felt. His pupils were blown, his lips parted. His chin shining with saliva, his chest beaded with sweat.
Said Boba, his eyes glittering. Not used to hearing that, are you?
It's not something people usually say to me, no, said Din, hoarsely, lust and confusion tangled up together in his chest.
A pity, Boba murmured,
and his voice was so honest it cut Din to the bone.
Garshar, Jerrica, you're sweet. Meshla.
Din's breath hitched.
Even like this? He asked.
Even sore and battered, a fresh wound stitched up one arm. Even with his hair all over the place, with several days' worth of patchy beard grown in, with exhaustion and stress lining his eyes. With his ass spread open, his fingers digging bruises into his skin. Boba did roll his hips then, dragging his cock from the bottom of Din's balls, pushing at those bruises, up to his asshole again. Din was still open enough that the head of Boba's cock caught again, dragged hard over Din's stretched rim, and Din couldn't stop the moan that rattled through him, the desire that roared like a crate dragon in his belly.
Yes, Shari, Boba said, even like this.
Din shivered again, caught between half a dozen sensations, and Boba indulged him, rolled his hips again. It was almost bafflingly good, despite the fact that now Din had been fucked by Boba, that he knew how much better this could get. This closeness, this affection and light teasing, the naked desire in Boba's eyes, was just as good as it had been when he'd sat Din on his cock for the first time. This was different, but indulgent, lazy, good. Every time Boba rolled his hips, he jostled Din enough that an ache throned behind his eyes, built like a bruise in his groin. Even that was good. Then Boba pulled away, patting Din's hip again.
Hold yourself open for me, said Boba. It was undoubtedly an order. I'll be back.
Din panted against the bed for a moment. He wasn't on the verge of coming, but he could get there easily. Pleasure had built in the base of his spine, drawn tight across his belly. I just need Boba to touch me again, Din thought.
Yes, Din said, once he'd found his voice again.
Yes, okay.
Arigate, Boba murmured. Hold still, then. Open for me, just like that.
Din nodded, trying to still his own hips, which had started to twitch to mirror Boba's lazy rolls. His fingers as they trembled against his own skin, his toes as they curled. Boba left the bed then, climbing out from between Din's spread legs. The loss of his warmth was as shocking as always, the breeze suddenly almost too cool to stand. But Boba didn't leave Din alone for long. He was back within moments, rumbling with wordless praise at how well Din had listened, and he settled between Din's legs again. Din gritted his teeth. Embarrassment was hot in his belly. Boba hadn't told him to stop doing this, to stop holding himself open, to wait for it. But Din's nerve was failing. This wasn't like charging into a fight or stepping into a seedy cantina looking for a bounty. This was... There was a familiar noise behind Din, and then a familiar smell. His body reacted to it with another kick of arousal.
The oil, Din thought.
Boba took his time. Din heard oil dripping, hitting the sheets, spattering gently against Din's legs. When Boba's hands came back, his fingers were slick. Din couldn't help but shift a little then, pushing his knees out wider, making more room for Boba. Boba hadn't technically told Din that he could move, but he still chuckled and asked, tone indulgent.
Eager, are we?
Din didn't answer. He couldn't. His tongue was heavy in his mouth. Boba didn't ask him again, though. Instead, he put one hand on Din's hip, holding him gently in place, and with his other, he started to work a finger into Din's hole, working him open. He'd already made good progress with his tongue. Within a minute, Boba had worked two fingers into Din's body and was pressing them in, stretching Din further as Din held himself open. This part of it was still strange. In the past, Din had never taken this much time to get ready. Preparation for bumping Beskar had only lasted long enough to make sure that no one got hurt. This was slow and languid and thorough, like Boba enjoyed this part of it as much as he enjoyed everything else. He was moving so carefully, so gently, that Din didn't know what to do in response except follow Boba's latest order, which had been to hold himself as still as he could. It was strange, and the strangeness was starting to overcome the hot edge of Din's arousal. Din shifted a little, wanting Boba to... The hand on Din's hip tightened. Not enough to hurt, because Boba was apparently firm about being gentle this time, but enough that Din could feel it. Din hissed, but got the hint and made himself hold still again.
Good boy. Boba praised, continuing to fuck Din with his fingers, pressing in up to the base of his second knuckles and sliding out again.
You're just, Din panted, reaching for something familiar, for the odd rhythm of teasing and taunting he and Boba had settled into, to overcome how strange all of this felt.
You're just saying that because you like it when I blush.
I do, Boba admitted shamelessly. He sounded like he was grinning.
Sure, he tacked on. Sweet.
His fingers hit a spot inside of Din that lit up the entire world behind his eyelids, made stars bloom there in the dark. Din moaned again. Boba's answering chuckle was half a growl.
That's it, he said coaxingly. Open up for me, Jerrica.
He was just saying it to make Din blush now. Din fell for it anyway, reddening, groaning, hiding his face in Boba's sheets. His shoulders shook. His cock was so hard that it burned almost. He wasn't sure what he was going to do when Boba actually started to fuck Din in earnest. Din didn't have to wait much longer to find out. Either Boba's patience had finally run out, or Boba had realized that Din was teetering on the edge of losing his self-control, because Boba pulled his fingers free, made a deep, guttural sound, the crate dragon again, and tightened his grip on Din's hip.
You can take your hands away now, Boba said. Brace yourself against the bed for me, Shara. Finally, Din thought.
He eagerly obeyed, letting go of himself and dropping his forearms down against the bed so he could support his own weight. His movements were clumsier than usual, but he managed it. Bobo rewarded him by tightening that grip on Din's hip, his fingers digging their reassuring bruises. Din couldn't see what Bobo was doing with his other hand, but he knew what he hoped. And then... the head of Boba's cock pressed against Din's wet, open hole and slid in with hardly any resistance at all. Din's whole body came to life. He'd thought that he was aroused before, that he was close to the edge of orgasm, but when Boba guided himself into the warmth of Din's body, inch by slow inch, the burst of pleasure and relief made those stars behind Din's eyes flare like supernovas. Din shouted. Boba didn't shout, but he did groan, bowing to fold himself over Din's back, covering every inch of skin he could reach. He pressed in and in and in until he was fully seated in Din's body. They both were panting. Din's heart threatened to beat out of his ribs. His own cock jumped against his belly. "That's it," Boba panted, voice warm against Din's ear. "That's it, Sharka. Just take it. Orijate, orijate." Din couldn't form the words to say anything back. His arms trembled. He felt full, finally full, Boba everywhere and all around him. His belly was tight with pleasure. Boba held still for a long moment, just breathing against Din's neck, gathering back up some semblance of control, and then he moved again. He didn't pull back or thrust any deeper, he just circled his hips, tiny little motions that made sparks of sensation fizzle up and down Din's spine. Din shifted with him, trying to chase that feeling. "Settle down," Boba said firmly. "You'll take what I give you, Jerrica." To emphasize his point, Boba eased himself nearly all the way out of Din's body, just as slowly and carefully as he'd pressed in. Then rolled his hips in that same slow, lazy way, filling Din back up. The motion dragged nearly the whole length of his cock against that spot inside of Din that made him groan, and the pool of pleasure in his gut deepened, widened. Boba repeated the motion. It rocked Din's entire body. He slipped a little on his elbows. The sheets began to ruck and pool all around them. Din dropped his head down, letting it hang between his shoulders, nearly boneless, as Boba thrust slowly in and out, again and again. From this angle, Din could see down the line of his body, could see where Boba was settled between his legs, thighs flexing as he fucked in smoothly, unhurried. Could see his own cock licking pre-cum, beads of fluid welling up and dripping to the sheets below them. Din's cock was nearly purple, hard, straining. The muscles in his abdomen were shaking. Despite the fact that his balls were still swollen and bruised, Din could barely feel the ache in them anymore. Pleasure had driven it right out. "I just need a little more," Din thought. A few tugs on his cock and he'd be finished, falling off that ledge. Din swallowed. His breath came in short. He wanted it. Din shifted all his weight to his better arm, reaching down with his right hand to take himself in hand, and was stopped by a sharp, stinging slap across his ass. It was more loud than it was painful, but Din yelped anyway, taken by surprise, and nearly fell on his face. Boba didn't stop fucking him, driving deep into Din's body. When Din didn't immediately regain his position, balanced on his elbows, Boba slapped his ass again. The second time it did hurt, a bright, sparkling sort of pain, and Din made a sound that was half a moan and half a growl. "No," said Boba firmly. Din managed to get himself back up onto both elbows, bracing himself properly. "No what?" Din panted. "No touching yourself," said Boba. "You'll come on my cock or you won't come at all, Jerrica." The casual confidence in his voice, the surety that he'd be obeyed, made Din's breath catch hard in his throat like it always did. Made something inside Din want to drop to his belly, arch his back, let Boba do whatever he wanted. It flirted with the feeling of flying, with that space inside of Din's own head that was quiet and peaceful and calm and still. All Din had to do was give in, was let Boba take control of this, but
but Boba was fucking Din so slowly, so carefully, so gently, like he thought that Din was a precious thing, not a warrior who could take it. And Din wasn't sure that he could come like this. He needed... Boba leaned down again, nibbled at the bottom of Din's ear. It was gentle and sweet, and Din wanted Boba to bite down anyway, to dig his teeth in, to make it hurt. "Problem, Jerrica?" Boba asked, as perceptive as always. He didn't sound angry or even particularly firm. He sounded curious. "No," said Din, reflexively. That earned him another slap on the ass, like Din was a disobedient child. The sound of it rang through the room. The implied reprimand stung even more than the slap itself. Made Din feel quarrelsome, feel like bucking Boba off, like twisting away, like making Boba take Din in hand, making him fuck Din like he meant it. "Honesty, Din," said Boba, sounding grave. Din winced. Kark, he had agreed to that. Boba had slowed his hips so much that now he was barely moving at all. "Honesty," Din rasped. "I'll ask again," said Boba, magnanimous. "You got a problem?"
Not a problem," Din said. "It's just gentle, that's all. I don't know if I can..."
He stopped himself, frustrated. He didn't know if he could get off like this. "Maybe I want to be gentle," Boba murmured, rolling his hips again. "Gonna fight me on it, Jerrica?"
Din almost said yes. He wasn't sure what he wanted, but at least when it was fast, when Boba was driving deep and steady into Din's body, he didn't have to think about what he wanted. Boba got Din where Din wanted to be quickly, took all the worry out of Din's head.
"But this is supposed to help Boba," Din thought. He'd agreed to all of this to help Boba relax, to give Boba a fraction of the peace Boba gave Din, if he could.
Din swallowed. You want to be gentle?" he asked.
Boba hummed in answer, nipping Din's ear again.
"I do," he said. He thrust in again. It was a bit faster than his previous thrusts, but not by much. Still good, but... "But I don't think I can get off like this. Not unless Boba lets me."
Din swallowed again, his breath caught, ragged.
"Do I need to get off?"
If this helped Boba, Din wanted to do it. He could take a gentle fucking. It was pleasurable, good. If this helped Boba, Din didn't need to get off. He could just enjoy this. He had done that before, after all. Pleasured Boba, or done what Boba had asked, taken a beating, sucked Boba's cock, without coming himself. That was its own kind of pleasure Din had found, in waiting, in serving. In helping Boba meet some want or need, even if it meant that Din's own want went unaddressed. That was a thought that sparked and flickered and flared before disappearing into the lazy waves of pleasure that were rolling up Din's spine. It wasn't like flying, not quite, but it was its own kind of calm, like floating in the pool beneath the palace, surrounded by the scent of warm, growing things. Din could sink into it if he let himself, if he gave in to what Boba wanted now, this gentle, indulgent thing.
"Gentle," Din managed to say, "and that's what you want."
"It is," Boba confirmed. He smiled into Din's neck. "It's not often I get to be gentle, Jerrica." Din steeled himself, then dropped his head down between his shoulders again and nodded.
"Okay," he said. "Okay, Boba, I can, if you want."
"Orijate," Boba murmured. And this time Din let himself sink into the praise, let it close over his head like water and pull him under. He gave in.
Din let thoughts of his own pleasure fade away. He focused on individual sensations instead. The feel of Boba moving inside him, Boba's fingers digging into his hips, the still-smarting skin of his ass where Boba had made his point, the sheets bunching underneath him, tangled against his knees, his elbows, and Boba, and Boba, and Boba. Boba's pace never wavered. He fucked Din steadily, breath hot against Din's neck. Din let himself disappear into it. His cock was hard, but it didn't matter. His belly was tight, but it wasn't a pressing concern. Din focused on keeping himself upright, on his arms to still their shaking, on his knees slipping them a little wider to accommodate Boba's body, to make it easier for him to chase his pleasure. Through it all, Din floated, bobbed along in Boba's wake. Boba held him. It was good. It was good. Finally, Din wasn't sure how much time it took, because it didn't matter anymore how much time it took. Boba's steady thrusts began to stutter. His pace wavered. He hit that starry spot inside of Din again, harder than before, and Din felt his cock jump. "That's it, now," Boba said. He sounded as fucked out as Din felt. "Very good. On my cock, Jarka." Boba's thrusts were still gentle, but deeper somehow, and the pace had picked up. Something was approaching him as he floated there, held fast by Boba's hands. It was bright and hot and roaring in the base of his spine, in his ears. "That's it," Boba repeated, his voice a growl Din felt in his bones. Boba's thrusts picked up, erratic now. "Come on, Din." Din tried to obey, reaching for that bright pleasure, but he wasn't sure that he could get there, not without taking himself in hand, and Boba had told him not to. Boba must have sensed Din's confusion, his frustration, because he leaned down and sank his teeth into the meat of Din's shoulder. The burst of pain flared hot, a bolt down to the base of his spine, and Din tipped over the edge with a shout. He came without being touched, his vision going wide and blind, his whole body shaking. Boba, his teeth still fastened in Din's shoulder, made a pleased sound and thrust again, a second time, a third, and came with a deep, satisfied groan right after Din. They stayed like that for a moment, locked together, trembling, and then Boba let go and mouthed a handful of kisses behind Din's ear. His hips finally stilled. He didn't pull out, though, even though his cock was starting to soften. Din let him do that, too, deep enough in the feeling of floating that he didn't mind. Boba loosened his grip on Din's hips, his fingers danced over Din's hitching sides, and he pressed another affectionate kiss to Din's ear. "Good boy," he murmured. Din shivered at the praise. That was good. He'd done what Boba had wanted. Din wanted to ask if it had helped, the chance to be gentle. But words were out of his reach right now, glimmering beyond his head like stars. He just made an open noise, low and soft, that was answered by a soothing croon from Boba. "Very good," Boba said. "Perfect." That couldn't possibly be true. But arguing against it seemed insurmountable right now, so Din let it go, sending it bobbing away along with all of his other present worries. "Come on, Shari," Boba murmured. He laved his tongue over the bite he'd left in Din's shoulder, and the touch was sweet enough, but edged with enough pain, that Din surfaced a little and began to sink back into his body. Din blinked rapidly, clearing his eyes, and let Boba tip them both onto their sides with a faint groan. His arms were shaking from the effort of keeping himself upright. The ache was back in his shoulders. His ass smarted. "With me?" Boba asked. He finally slipped his softened cock out of Din's hole, though for once he made no move to get up and clean them both off. Boba tucked himself quite contentedly against Din's back, folding Din into his arms. Din let him, and Boba rewarded him with another kiss right over the bite. Din didn't think that Boba had broken skin. It had hurt the bite, but not badly enough to have cut Din. Am I disappointed by that? Din wondered, sinking even further back into his own body. Or relieved. He felt not worked over, exactly. Not like he had when Boba had flogged him, or even like he had when Boba had tied him down, but marked, Din thought sleepily. He felt fucked open. He could feel Boba's cum starting to track down his thighs, their sweat cooling around him. The bite mark on his shoulder throbbed. He was sore, but now he was sore like he'd fought a good spar, not sore like he'd taken a beating. "Yeah," Din croaked. "I'm with you." Boba made another of his thoughtful noises, nosing the back of Din's neck. "How do you feel?" he asked. "All right?" "All right," Din assured him. He paused, then thought about it for a moment. "I think I undid your relish massage, though." Boba chuckled. "That's all right," he said. "I can give you another one, Jerrica." "Do all relish massages end like this?" Din asked. "No," Boba said, smiling into Din's neck. He was feeling sly again, Din could tell. That meant that Din had helped. A warm little kernel of pride flickered to life in Din's chest. This entire evening had been very strange, but if Din had helped Boba, then it was worth it. "No," Boba said again. "That's just the house special." The laugh he startled out of Din was rusty and sore, pride loose from somewhere deep in his chest. "Mirshab," Din said. "Mirshab," Boba returned. "So what now?" Din asked. He'd left that floating place inside his head entirely now, but he didn't really mind. "Now," said Boba, shifting a little. "You let me clean us both up, and then we go to sleep, and tomorrow we get up and do some hut hunting. Yeah?" Din settled deeper into Boba's mattress. "That," he thought, "doesn't sound like a bad plan." "Yeah," he agreed. Boba pressed another kiss into Din's hair and then finally disentangled himself from the bed, leaving like he always did to get a damp rag to wipe them both down. Din heard the sound of the faucet and Boba's fresher sputtering. He felt the wind stir sweet and cool across his face. "Yeah," Din thought, closing his eyes. "Not a bad plan at all." He was vaguely aware of Boba coming back and cleaning Din off. His hands were gentle as they worked between Din's legs, over the mark now imprinted into his shoulder. And then came the Bacta, cool as it always was, though Din was warm everywhere else and mostly asleep as Boba murmured things at him, sometimes in Basic, sometimes in Mandoa. Din had never liked being coddled, but this was all right. He could put up with this. He let his breathing even out, his body start to drift off into sleep. Boba finished taking care of them both, then slid back into bed with Din, curling close. He was warm, and Din slipped further down.
"Nikarteligar," Boba said softly into Din's hair.
But Din didn't hear him. Din was already asleep.